The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Wow, Parky, just over a month into the brand new season. How's it been for you?
I tell you what, I'm really...
How's it been for you?
How's it been for me? I'm absolutely loving it. I tell you what, I can't wait until getting further into the season.
Has the action lived up to what we expected? The time has come, all that stuff. Does every minute count? Does every second count?
It depends.
Is it living up to what we hoped and thought it would be?
It depends which club you're supporting, I suppose, doesn't it? You know, it always helps if you've got a good run. If you're a Saints fan at the moment, you're loving it. Because
if you're a Leeds fan, you're loving it.
5 out of 5. Leeds, 5 out of 5. You know, Keighley and Swinton have been in fairly good form.
So it's not good for them in the Championship.
No, if you're a Hull fan, it's not been good
for
them.
Doom and gloom over in Hull, yeah.
No, Widnes, it's been a bit mixed, hasn't it?
Hit and miss for Widnes.
Hit and miss
for Wakefield.
Well, it started off as a hit, didn't it? But it's ended up a right miss the last 3 weeks.
It has, hasn't it? So, yeah, so far so good for some of the teams in Rugby League, but the standard, has it met your expectation? Are you happy with the way things are going?
I'll be honest, I've not been too impressed with the standard of Super League.
I'm not impressed with the standard of this podcast.
I think
we're still ring rusty. We're in the pre-season still.
We're still warming up, aren't we? But for me, for the Kingstone Press Championship has got off to a better start than Super League has for me.
iPro Sports Cup, that's had a lukewarm start because there's been no publicity around it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
No one knows what's going on.
There's been some good rugby played as well, hasn't there? Yeah. You know, there's some good results, some great games going on. You know, there was a classic last week between Keighley and Swinton, which saw Swinton snatch it in the last 10 minutes. Great cup tie.
But despite there being not much publicity, we're going to talk about it anyway very shortly. But before we do all that, you're sounding like the crowd at London Broncos, right?
What, the one?
The one.
Oh,
or the 87 that were at the Gloucestershire game against Skirlow in the Chance Cup.
Oh, no, we did that one last time round, didn't we?
But we like to recycle the old gags, don't we? Because we're just desperate for their entertainment material on this show.
We'll keep trying anyway. We'll keep digging at the entertainment material, and hopefully something will crop up which will be worthwhile using.
Moving along, let's go with the good, the bad and ugly as always. The good, 4 Widnes players all becoming new dads. They've been very busy, not just on the pitch, but in the other departments as well at home.
Well, it's nice,
in the bedroom,
isn't it? It shows that...
the fighting fit, as they say.
No, I was going to say it shows what a family club Widnes is, doesn't it?
Keeping it in the family, I like what you did at the party. Yeah, congratulations to Ben Cavanna, Lloyd White, Paul Johnson and Christine. All becoming new dads, so well done to them four.
They'll be, let's hope that they switch the training hours over at Widnes, because some
won't
of those...
Won't be getting much sleep, will they?
Yeah, some of those dads might need all the kit that they can muster.
This is where the partner or wife comes into play.
Nah, we're in the modern world. It's even
new
even
dads.
Stevens.
Yeah, new even training. Stevens. New training for the guys. Never mind rugby training. Training how to put a nappy on.
That's it. You know,
that's
but then
that's a talent in itself.
Then again, some of these guys, they've been catching rugby balls and juggling skills.
Knock them on.
You need your juggling skills when you're changing nappies, don't you?
Don't be knocking on the smelly nappies.
You know this better than anybody, don't you, Adrian?
I do, yeah. Okay, moving away from that story, well done to us four guys, by the way. Moving on, as always, to the bad. And it's Salford who were in the bad this week. Dr. Kukash admitting it's costing him a small fortune. Well, it is to him, but to everyone else, it's a big fortune. To fund the club at Salford due to the high rent costs and falling attendances. It's costing him an arm and a leg. What's going on? What happened to all this? It's a brand new start for the club, and where's all that belief gone when we were swapping the Willows to the Salford Stadium, where they are now?
I think, unfortunately, with where that stadium is, it's that far away from life in that part of the world, isn't it? That, you know, it's not really took off for Salford, unfortunately. They've had a couple of good gates there, but they've not been able to sustain
it. The last one against Wakefield, just over 2,000, that's not enough.
No, there was only about 20 people less over at Featherstone, to be honest, for the game in the Championship between the Feather and Lee Centurions.
But I wonder where the club would be without Dr. Kukash at the helm.
Well, I think somewhere at the bottom of League One, possibly, because they might not even be in business.
Probably in the rubble of the Willows ground and club.
I think
had a great couple of nights at the Willows club, by the way.
I think it is pretty sad, to be honest, though. And it's a bit sad that he's ending up being the man who's trying to be, he's been left holding the baby, hasn't he? I know we've already done babies in the, yeah, the earlier good, but you know, Dr. Kukash, he's like the man holding the baby, isn't he? Because year on year, it seems to be costing him more and more money to sustain Salford as a Super League essence.
Looks like it's not been a good deal moving the Willow and moving from the Willow to where they are. The ground looks great, but unfortunately for the club itself, it's costing them more money than what they expected. And like I said, I've had a couple of good nights at the Willow, so Shawaddy Waddy were there one time.
Did you?
I did, yeah, they were there.
See, was this when you was, you know, going round and seeking the cool of the coolest?
Exactly, yeah. Get down the Willows.
But I mean, to be fair,
chicken in a basket and all that stuff.
To be fair, it's a bad deal that he's got there, isn't it? Because
it is.
How can you have a rent that goes up, not just by 1% or by 5% every year, but he's talking about it costing 40% more next year than it did when he took over at the club to rent the stadium. So that means that it's unsustainable, to be honest, doesn't it? And it means that they've got to attract higher and higher attendances. And to be honest, even Salford in the heyday back in the 1970s when they were winning championships,
6,000 to 7,000.
You're right. They only averaged 6,000 to 7,000. You know, so they've never been a massive club as far as attendances go. So it makes me wonder whether he's going to have to get a negotiating team in and have a word with the owners of that stadium to see if they can get Salford a better deal.
Other than that, he's going to have to get more winners out there in the racehorsing world.
Oh, he could do. Yeah, that's always another thing. Or he could dip deeper into his pockets. But then again, I think he's getting a bit fed up of doing that, because what was it, £3 million last year?
Yeah.
I mean, me and you couldn't even dream of £3 million, could we?
Could even put a pound on the outside horse for the Grand National.
Okay.
We'll do that.
Yeah. Well, I'll follow that feeling, I think, and we'll see how we do.
I'm sure that donkey's somewhere on Blackpool Beach rather than at the race course.
I think the last horse that I backed in the Grand National is still running somewhere. I don't think he'd ever finished.
Moving away from the bad to the ugly side of rugby league, Leeds player Zach Hardacre and Elliot Minicello not doing themselves any favours, are they? Both arrested recently in West Yorkshire by the police. Despite being released without charge, they both admitted an assault took place in Leeds last month, and they've both been fined £200, and they've got to write a letter of an apology to the person who they assaulted. Not doing themselves any favours, are they?
No, they're not. And unfortunately, they're not doing the game any favours either, are they? Because it's all reputational damage, which just can't be undone. You know, these are lads, yes, I know they're young, and I know that young people, lots of testosterone, etc., etc., but it doesn't really give any excuse for going
around. How old is Zach Hardacre? He's 23 now,
isn't
he?
Zach Hardacre's 23, yeah.
Exactly, he's not a young lad anymore. He's a mature person, he should be.
But, you know, I just think that they've let themselves down, they've let the club down, they've let the sport of rugby league down, so I hope that they can get beyond this, keep the noses clean and out of danger and trouble in future, and both of them get back to what they do best on the rugby field, because, you know, Zach Hardacre has had a superb start to the season, and it would be a shame to see him fritter his career away, wouldn't it?
Well, the word on the street is he might be available for the game against Wigan, but the club at Leeds might still punish him anyway in the pocket.
Yeah, and I think Sean Wayne's not really preparing for him facing them on behalf of Wigan, who they face this coming weekend. So, although quite what he would know about the intricacies of the Leeds squad, I'm unsure, but never mind. You know what it's like in rugby league. Small sport, people talk.
There you have it, the good, the bad and ugly of rugby league. Let's move away from that kind of chat. Talk about the action, shall we? Two rounds of the Championship, two rounds of Super League to talk about. The pick of the action for me from round four in Super League, Parky, well, it's got to be that second half in Leeds against Hull FC.
You know something? You've nicked my notes, because I had put that exact thing down as well.
Oh, you've been copying me, have you?
How could Hull go from leading 12 points to nil? They looked like they were in control of the game after 40 minutes to then lose the second half 43-0.
I think the black and white half of Hull are still trying to work that one out as well.
There looked to be plenty of people scratching their heads, and that was just the coaching staff at Hull.
I'm sure the red and white side of Hull, when they went back into work on Monday, were laughing their heads off at the tea break.
Possibly, yeah, because, I mean, Hull Kingston Rovers themselves have been on their uppers recently, haven't they? So, it was such an odd game, that, because, as I said, Hull played so well in the first half and were just wiped away in the second by an outstanding lead showing. It was all started by Brad Singleton making a break just a minute and a half into the second half, which led to a try, and Leeds didn't look back. They just turned on the afterburners and away they went. 43 unanswered points.
Moving away from round four, let's talk about round five. The pick of the action for me, Parky, Hull Kingston Rovers' stunning comeback to defeat Catalans, mentioning the S, at Dragons, 50 points to 20. That's despite being 20 points to 6 down at half time, or was it 20 points to 4?
That S has annoyed you. You've mentioned it every single show that
I don't
done.
Want to be getting a solicitor's writ from the South of France. I can't afford to pay out any euros by not announcing one word, one letter.
Well, you know, just keep it up. Keep it up. Think on. But back to that game. It's a stunning victory, that, to be honest. And Ken Seo seems to be the man at the moment in Super League. I think he grabbed a hat-trick in that game. And he looks every inch the sort of lethal finisher, which Hull Kingston Rovers have been missing for quite a few years. They've got some really good attacking players there at Hull Kingston Rovers this season, haven't they? I'm thinking your likes of your Campese, who's coming from Canberra Raiders. And they seem to have mixed even better. And I noticed recently they brought Sean Lunt on board as well, haven't they, from Huddersfield, which could prove to be a masterstroke. It was for Leeds the other year, wasn't it, because he went and won a championship with the Rhinos. So
he did.
I wonder whether he'll have similar designs on an upturning fortunes for Hull Kingston Rovers. But well played to them, you know, because if you looked at their form over the first 2 or 3 weeks of the Super League campaign, you'd be putting them in that middle eight, wouldn't you? But at the moment it's hard to pick who's going to finish in that middle eight, because you know, everybody seems to be capable of beating everybody else. My pick of the action, I think, from that round, Adrian, was Salford's victory over Wakefield. I know we've already mentioned this game because of the lack of attendance that went to it, but what an exciting win for Salford. And Rangi Chase seems to be picking up his game again, doesn't he? He crossed for a try, set another couple up. There were other tries from Greg Johnson, Wella Hiraki and Junior Sow. Josh Griffin chips in with 4 goals. He's one heck of a goal kicker, you know, this Josh Griffin. Really misses. Really good striker.
Toss him everything he knows.
I thought you might have done. Yeah. I could see some of his technique mirrored in yours as you was coming in to the studio today, and there was that Chris Packett rolling around.
Kicking
the
can. That's where I got my training from. Kicking the can.
For Wakefield, though, they seem to have gone into complete reverse. After starting the season with 2 really good wins, they've had 3 defeats on the bounce. Jake Miller, Paul McShane and Craig Hall scored the tries, with Craig Hall kicking 3 goals. But for me, they're shipping too many points in at the moment and are looking a little bit brittle on defence.
Good performance from Salford, but what a break by Adrian Morley. Where did he find that pace to go 60 metres downfield?
Oh no, just shows that you could still stick him in its centres, couldn't you?
Wow, yeah. Maybe that's a food for thought for Yeston Harris.
To be fair, I mean, if Adrian Morley's still doing it at Super League, Fui Fui Mai Mai's doing it in the Championship with the Centurions, because he came up with 2 40 metre busts just the last weekend. And I tell you what, we're in for plenty more entertainment. This is why I'm loving Rugby League at the minute.
There was a win there for Wigan in the last round of the Super League against Hull FC. Close run game it was, wasn't it? And Widnes went down to St. Anne's. The Saints maintained their 100% record.
They did, yeah. And, you know, everybody was talking about Wigan and how they were doing, and, you know, would they be able to turn round this poor run of form after getting a complete spanking, you could say, over at Castleford the week before, when it was literally the Justin Carney show. They did manage to overturn it, won by 13 points to 12 in the end against Hull. Just were hanging on. It probably wasn't the performance that they were looking for, but it was certainly the 2 points. And as you mentioned, we were over at that game involving Widnes and St Helens, weren't we? And Widnes did everything right for about 40 and a half minutes of the game, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then literally from the kickoff of the second half, unfortunately there was a mistake. They had to drop out. They conceded a penalty, then they conceded a try. St Helens got on the front foot, and Widnes just couldn't seem to respond. They were like rabbits caught in the headlights, weren't they? And in the end, St Helens deserved quite a comfortable victory, I thought.
You wouldn't know what I'm going to say now, don't you?
I was, yeah.
I don't know what I was going to say.
I thought you were going to chip in there.
I just got in a trance of what you're on about.
Is that just because of my dulcet, cold-ridden tones?
Something like that, maybe.
The Barry White of rugby league.
Yeah, well done to the Saints. Even though they are top of the table, not everyone's picking them up, are they?
I mean, to be fair, it was much the same last season, wasn't it? Because they never seemed to really fizzle of anything above good, you know. In the past, we've seen St Helens teams which have been very physical but very, very good on the attack, haven't we? And very easy and pleasing on the eye. This St Helens side seems to just be based on complete hard work, which, you know, is another way of winning rugby league matches.
I suppose for the bonus for Wigan, by winning that hard-fought game against Hull FC, finally, it meant Sean Wayne was in a happier mood. And it meant they got a weekend off, because the weekend before against Castleford, he was that disgusted by the performance.
Oh, he called them all
the weekend off.
Yeah, he did. He called them all in, and they were all training, weren't they, at 6 a.m.
That's punishment for you.
On Sunday morning. Come on in, lads. You know we've got to do it right next week.
So when it was a close run thing, they must be thinking, come on, guys, let's one big effort, we want a weekend off.
It obviously worked for them. Whatever they did differently, it worked for them, didn't it?
Well, obviously it did work, and our man Steve Manning went over to Wigan to have a chat with happy Sean Wayne as we go into Coach's Corner. We've got our losers and winners Coach's Corner tonight. We've got Wayne and Cassidy.
So, Sean, is it a lot happier this week after the win on Friday now?
Yeah, obviously a lot happier. Players seem pretty intent on having a good performance this Friday against Leeds, and it is a lot easier, and you know, we've not took our foot off the gas. At the end of the day, it was one win, and it wasn't really a convincing win. We didn't win by the margin we should have done. So it was just 2 points, and there's still lots of room for improvement.
Was your heart slightly in your mouth when they pinged that pass out to the left hand side, and it needed the $6 million man to catch it to score the winner?
Yeah, it was. I think Clubby, he was at first mark. I think he'd have got to Westerman for the drop goal, I think. But they should never have been in that position. I think we over defended. Joe Tompkins made an error, but I think it was through him trying too hard. They knew it was the last set, and they wanted to stop them getting up the field to get that 1 point, because that would have been a disgrace. I think we were the best team, so I think if anything, they're trying too hard.
Well, Vikings assistant coach Mick Cassidy, your thoughts on the game at the weekend? Perhaps a classic game at your hearts?
Yeah, for want of a better cliche, it certainly was a game of two halves. We work heavily and tirelessly on how we start games in either half, and you can start cold. Maybe we did start a little bit cold. I think the mistake on half time really did hurt us. We spent about 6-7 minutes without the ball, and when we did get the ball, we made a mistake. So it took a lot of energy out of us, and Saints capitalised on it. They did really well.
And it's not a case of just doing it against yourself, any team, you know, once they've got that possession and that go forward, they're very difficult to stop, aren't they?
Yeah, they play very good off the rock, even when James Robbie's not playing. Lance Ahai is very good at a dummy half, and they've got lots of good runners, they've got a big team, and they've got people who can score tries from anywhere. Very dangerous near the line, like they showed at the weekend. So, you know, a bit of tidy up stuff for us this week, tidy up unforced errors, tidy up our goal line D, and, you know, a little bit more hitting stick off the line.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Parker, we just heard from Wayne and Mick Cassidy.
We did.
Nice duo, wasn't it? Wigan connections. One a winner, one a loser for Widnes. Sounds like the Hoover's going to be out, though. They're doing a lot of tidying up.
Yeah, it was interesting him hearing it referred to like that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For me, they do just need to just get that little bit more belief, because they showed they've got a little bit of a weak underbelly for me, you know. So if teams can get back-to-back tries in them, I thought they'd gone past this a couple of seasons ago, because you used to know if Widnes conceded 2 or 3 tries on the bounce 2 or 3 years ago, they'd concede 50, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
And there were times during that game where St Helens got on such a rolling that you thought, oof, are we going to be back to the old Widnes? But now, thankfully, they managed to get it back.
Now, we mentioned the black and white half of Hull, wondering how on earth it all went wrong for them in that second half against Leeds. One thing that's probably baffling the black and white of Widnes is how on earth did Danny Craven trip himself up when it looked like he was odds on to score a try?
That's true. I mean, he intercepted the ball, didn't he? Or leapt on a loose pass and, you know, jumped down the length of the field, looked for all the world like he was going to go over, and somehow contrived to trip himself up literally inches from the line.
That's just funny, wasn't it?
It was. It was a bit of a comedy moment. You can imagine that on question...
Maybe what happened next?
Question of sport.
Is that what it is?
It is, yeah. What happened next? You took the words out of my mouth.
Tell you what is coming up next. It's Rugby League Street.
You can progress down the southern of the country.
Yeah, certainly. You know, it's just proven over the years that there's been some very good players come out of the area. You know, you look at Dan Sardinson and Carter Scarsbrook. You know, there's some real
good. Cool.
Yeah, there's some real good players that have come out of that area, and you know, hopefully they won't be the only ones. You know, hopefully there can be some more come up over the next few years, and hopefully we can see somebody like Oxford or even like Gloucester Allgoals as well. You know, maybe they could potentially have a good year in League One and, you know, push to try and get in the Championship, and I think that'd be a good thing to see if London aren't in Super League as well. Let's have two southern based teams in the Championship, you know, and progress from there.
I think it'd be great for the sport if they do have one or two southern teams high up in the leagues. I know it's the same, you could say, in rugby union they need two northern teams in the leagues. It is controlled by the majority of southern teams in rugby union. The same in rugby league, the controlling force is northern teams. I mean, you look along the M62 and you've got Warrington, Leeds, Bradford, the likes, just off the side of one motorway, and then you've got St Helens and Wigan, Widnes, Salford and Warrington just concentrated in a really compact small area. So you need a team from the south like London, maybe Hemel Stags, London Scholars, just to break it up a bit. And then you've got obviously the extreme south with Catalan in France.
Yeah, I think the only worrying thing would be attendances. They can always improve though. I mean, London, they only had, I think it was 563 on at the game at the Hive against Workington. But I was researching the other day and I seen when they first formed London, they started at Craven Cottage in Fulham, and there was about 11,000 spectators there. Well, it said curious southerners, so I think it can develop, but it's how we're going to promote it.
It's a long shot, but it only takes being in one final and winning one final to get a huge backing. That's all you need.
I just think with the attendances down south, it's the same in Wales as well with rugby league. It's because in Wales it's a rugby union country. In the southern area, it's mainly rugby union as well. Maybe even football. So I don't. It's hard to think about and it's hard to explain whether they can get good attendances. But I think last year London got about 1,000 a game. But I thought it's obviously dropping considerably.
I think the Wales model of rugby league at the moment is what the South was a couple of decades back. They just burst onto the scene. A few people were curious in the first year with the Crusaders being thrown straight into Super League, and then as it progressed they dropped down, and then they kind of stayed at a level and people lost interest because they didn't know how it was going to go. The same model needs to happen in Wales as it's doing down south. Try and attract more teams, try and attract more fans, and again all it needs is one big win against a big club and people will go, hang on a minute, we'll go and watch them.
Considerable talk from the guys on Rugby League Street. Let's just leave them, shall we, as they were talking about Rugby League down south.
Yeah, it was like we'd nipped into a conversation in the pub, wasn't it? Yeah. I think that's where the lads were actually when they were discussing there about Rugby League down south. If you are interested, hashtag RLDS.
Ian Ramsdale is.
Yeah, he definitely
is. Banging about Rugby League down south.
And it's a pretty good podcast that he does as well, isn't it?
So
make sure you have a listen.
Hashtag RLDS. Okay.
Down south, strangely enough.
Speaking of the Challenge Cup, we had round three done and dusted recently in the march towards Wembley. Championship One clubs were joined by the amateurs that were remaining from round two, and there were wins for our club, West Bank Birds. They went down to North Wales Crusaders and were defeated 60 points to 12. We'll hear from Anthony Murray very shortly. There were wins for Oxford over Hemel Stags, 22-10. Oldham defeated Coventry Birds, 46-6. Barrow won 38-22 against Keighley. South Wales Scorpions lost out 20 points to 4 to York City Knights. Gloucestershire Allgoals defeated the amateur Skirlaugh from home, 66-4. Ellen lost out to Featherstone Lions 26-14 in the shootout of the amateurs. Warpaw Hornets took on Newcastle Thunder. They went down 26-4. Ulton Raiders lost out 34-8 to Normanton Knights. Cales were defeated by Rochdale 29-12. Swinton were too strong for London Scholars. Get this for a scoreline. Okay. 86-4.
Were they playing Swinton cricket? Lions. Were they playing cricket? That's a cricket score, that, isn't it?
Just about. And finally, Lee Miners defeated West Hull 32-28.
Come on, the Miners!
Up the Miners, as they say. Before we bring you the round for what round are we on?
It's round four.
Is it round four? Are you sure?
Round four. You've got me questioning it now.
Is it round five?
It's
It was round three, the round just gone, wasn't it?
Round four.
Witness West Bank lost out to Anthony Murray's North Wales Crusaders, and I caught up with Anthony Murray just after that game.
Obviously, 100%.
We will get there.
Now,
there we go.
Now we'll get there.
100% credit and respect to the amateur side. The first half, we went in, I think it was 42-0. And then in the second half, we came out and Widnes really took the game to us, and we only won the second half 18-12. So, take my hat off to the Widnes side. They got stuck into us, they sort of knocked us off our game plan a little bit, which. That was the plan, and we got dragged down into it a little bit. But no, fair play to them in the second half, they came back at us.
Mission for the Crusaders was to get through the round, and you've done that, so you must be more than happy.
Obviously, of course, I'm more than happy with obviously getting through, to the next round. Obviously, as a coach, you've scored 60 points, they conceded 12, and you're sort of still thinking to yourself, on reflection, thinking, your team needs to be, a lot better for when we do, play the our own level. But yeah, I'm just happy to get through the round, and I do know we need to be a lot better next week.
Any standout performance for yourself today?
I thought Gary Midless was good. I thought John O'Smith was his usual self. But that's about it, really, mate.
Other than that, you're in the fourth round. Any tie in particular?
Just like to get a home tie. We're not going to win the cup, are we? But we'd like to, get some decent draws at home, and give the fans something to cheer about, and look forward to it.
How do you know North Wales Crusaders are not going to win the cup?
Well, you never know, do you?
Negative vibes from the head coach, though.
The look of the draw in anybody's,
exactly.
It's anybody's, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. You've got to believe in yourself and believe the magic of the cup could happen for you this year.
And there's certainly magic in the cup, isn't there?
He did get one thing right, did Anthony Murray, after defeating our amateur team, Widnes West Bank, to become our team for the road to Wembley. He did get a home tie in the Champions Cup fourth round as they take on Doncaster.
And I tell you what, they'll fancy the chances against Doncaster because they've been less than convincing so far this season. So
I think that's it, Paul Cook out there.
They will, yeah. He
reminiscent of his Lance Todd Trophy performance.
He missed the game against Lee, so I wonder whether he'll be fit to pull the boots on again.
Is he good enough to win the Lance Todd Trophy, Paul Cook, again?
Ooh, no. There you go. Hey, well, you never know. Class is permanent, isn't it?
It is, yeah. A long time ago when he did win that long.
2005, wasn't it?
Oh, your knowledge is well better than mine. Oh. I'd have took a guess.
That's only because it's not alcohol-addled at the minute.
Right, okay. Well, we mentioned that one for North Wales Crusaders. We will be following the Crusaders in that game. We hope that they may get to round five when Super League comes in. Or is it the bottom four?
Bottom four of Super League, yeah.
Oh, so. I don't know where they are with all this restructuring. No wonder the coach for Barrow's kicking off about it.
So it's Hull, Kingston Rovers, and two other clubs which are coming in at that round.
Exactly. Right, let's give you the draw for round four, shall we? Featherstone Lions flying the flag for the amateurs in Featherstone take on York City Knights. Lee Centurions have got a home tie against the London Broncos. Normanton Knights, the amateurs from Castleford, take on Batley Bulldogs. Lee Miners take on Oxford at RLFC. That's going to be taking place at the Lee Sports Village after the Twist Lane ground was deemed not suitable for a Champions Cup tie. At Whitehaven take on Featherstone Rovers. Dewsbury Rams versus Newcastle Thunder, which will be a cracking game of rugby, that one, won't it? Also, Barrow versus Halifax. Bradford take on Workington Town, Swinton Lions versus Rochdale, Sheffield versus Oldham, and finally it's the University of Gloucester versus Hunslet Hawks.
Some tasty ties there, isn't there? And some real interesting ones. Featherstone Rovers, are they going to be able to fancy that long trip up to Whitehaven? Interesting.
Will be interesting, won't it?
Definitely, yeah. Mm. Now, over on that weekend, while Adrian, you were over in North Wales, I was over at Lee Miners Rangers. And I caught up with Paul Whitworth afterwards. And this is what he had to say after the Miners came back to win the game in really exciting circumstances, 32 points to 28. That was one heck of a cup tie. How do you describe it? From a coaching point of view, I don't. Have you lost any more hair with that one?
Didn't have much to start off with. But I thought, first half, we was really in control of the game. We completed well. We put 95% completion. But in the second half, we just lost control. Maybe a bit of indiscipline. But it weren't indiscipline, which was any sort of violence. It was technical around the ruck. And we said before the game that, you know, we know where we are before this, after this game. And I think it was something really good to work on. But I think I'm really proud of the lads and the character they showed at the end there to come back with. I mean, Bodu scored on the out on the edge there. He was absolutely, his leg was really in a bad way, and he showed some real bravery to get over the line.
Well, I mean, it's a brave performance from him full stop, wasn't it? Because they kept challenging him down that wing, and that's how he ends up injured in the first place.
It is, and you know, both our wings, you know, the young lads, and it's what we're about. We develop people. We, you know, we don't tend to bring people in or from other clubs, and we tend to develop young guys and make them into what we want to be. And this season, you know, we hope to develop and they get better and better, and maybe go to better things. But that's what we're about.
That first 25 minutes though was something else, you know, real control shown by the lads.
Yeah, I mean, what we practiced and what we practiced we put on, and but you know, in the second half it was really hard to get back into that when you can't get the ball. I mean, the penalty count was I think 12-3. We had one penalty in second half, and speaking to the referee, you know, he was saying just technical things, and we were tired and fatigued, but we start season, we'll get better at that.
But what a way to win it at the end there, and you're into the next round.
Oh yeah, fantastic. We're really pleased. It's a good buzz. I mean, these guys, like, you know, the amateurs, they don't get paid, and they work hard as some professional clubs, and they put a lot of time in. We do video, you know, we ask them for extra time, and I'm just glad they got some reward out to the hard work they're putting in.
Any standouts for you today, Paul?
I thought our left edge, I thought Brad, who again is a guy who's getting back into the game, I was really pleased that he's starting to develop to what we want him to be. Up front, Daryl Kay was his usual self, along with Connor Ratcliffe. And Matt Astley at the end there, when we really needed some steel, came on and made some good defensive moves for us.
Paul Whitworth in a very windy Lee. Yeah, that sounds it.
It was. It was pretty windy after that. And I tried not to interview him in a wind tunnel, but I failed miserably near the end there as it caught up with me and just switched round. Now, we're going to be moving on to the Championship, aren't we? And certainly it's been all to play for this last couple of weeks at that
level.
Actually, as well,
I'm going to throw you because I was going to talk about the iPro Sports Cup.
Oh, was you? Okay. Well, let's go talk about iPro.
Sticking with the cups, shall we?
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Well, go on then, carry on.
Well, the iPro Cup. You've got all the results there.
I have got all the results. I just wanted to see how much you knew about it. And no one else does.
24 points to 22. That was a good result for Keithley. Oldham managed to defeat Barrow by 32 points to 10, which was a fine result up in the northwest. Yeah. And also, I'm just sort of thinking, did North Wales Crusaders manage to beat Rochdale as well?
They did, 28-4.
And the only one I've not mentioned was a great result for Newcastle Thunder, because they managed to overturn York City Knights, didn't they?
Good result for Swinton, by the way. I thought Keithley might have been a bit strong for John Duffy's men, but the men from Swinton proving they had that fighting ability for the full 80.
Just out of interest, who was the try scorers in that Swinton game?
Grant Beecham,
okay.
Ben White,
yeah.
Chris Aitken, and the ever-present and evergreen Stuart Littler.
Oh, good on you, Stuart.
Proper Lee lad, isn't he?
Good on you, Stuart. Keep on going.
I know that'll make you happy.
Old school mate of mine, Stewie.
By the way, if you don't know what the iPro Sport Cup is, that's basically the trophy that kind of replaced the Northern Rail Cup, but it's just strictly for Championship 1, the final of which will take place. Is it the Summer Bash?
It is, yeah. It's the first game on the Saturday, which for me is a bit cheapening it, but you know, I would like to see it as a standalone cup competition being played with its standalone final as well. I don't really like how the Rugby League bundles all these games together, in fairness, but hey, that's just me being a grumpy old man.
You grumpy old man. Anyway, let's move along to the semi-final draw for the chance to get to Blackpool for the Summer Bash to take part in the first ever iPro Sport Cup final. In the semi-final, North Wales Crusaders, well, they've got a tough-looking tie against Swinton Lions, and Oldham take on Newcastle Thunder. Or have I got that wrong?
I don't know. You've got the fixtures there.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with that. Just shows you how much
we love our...
just shows you how much we know about the iPro Sports Cup.
We love our research on this show, don't we?
No, we are only joking. It's Swinton versus Newcastle, Oldham versus North Wales Crusaders. There was a joke there.
There was a joke there.
There's not been much publicity surrounding the iPro Sport Cup.
You were just hiding the page. Just that's
seen,
what you was
everyone
doing.
Just seems to not know what's going on with it. What we do, we're just making a joke about it. By the way, the semi-final takes place over the last weekend of March, if you're really interested. Let's talk Championship before we run out of time on this particular final hooter, shall we? They've reached round four and round five of the Championships. Pick of the action for me from round four. Bradford continuing the big wins so far this season, with this time a big win against Huntsville at 56-6.
Yeah, good result. And again, Lee Gaskell being amongst the tries in that one. I seem to mention him every single show that we do, don't
I? Too good for the Championship.
I think so. He's the halfback that Wigan's missing for me. I think if he goes and puts that red and white shirt on for Wigan, they win a cup this season. But hey-ho, he's with Bradford for now, so he'll keep on doing the business there. For me, the result of that particular round was over in South Yorkshire, Sheffield Eagles hosting Batley. Menzieri back on top, try scoring form with two of the Eagles' five tries. There was even a try there for Mr. QLT. We always like it when Quinton Lulutonga guy goes over, just because you know that I can say that name and everybody else always struggles, don't they? Pat Walker also.
I'm even going to suggest, say it.
Yeah, Pat Walker also coming up with four goals there. Batley, they did give it their all, but just finished a little bit short in that one.
Pick of action for me for round five. Huntsford's big win over Doncaster. Doncaster just can't buy a win, can they? Lost that to Huntsford this time, 32-12. Well done to Andy Kane scoring the hat-trick for the Hawks.
Yeah, I was wondering how that transfer would go, to be honest, because he's been at Featherstone for such a long time now, hasn't he, Andy Kane? Scored over 100 tries for them, and there's always a chance when you go to a new club it doesn't quite work out and you don't quite settle in, but it appears that he's doing the business for them at the moment and looks a really good prospect for them to have a good season. They've had a couple of better results over the last few weeks because they also beat Dewsbury, didn't they, a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, they're starting to pick up points now, Hunslet, and I'm pretty glad for them because they've put a fairly good squad together that are on a pretty low budget. Talking about another club that has a low budget this season, and that's Whitehaven, and they were able to turn the tables on full-time London Broncos, beating them by 18 points to 16. There were tries for Jordan Burns, James Newton and John Paul Brocklebank, who in only his second professional game also kicked three goals. He was the real difference between the sides.
Certainly finding life hard, aren't they, the Broncos? Word on the street, by the way, is that Brian Noble could be the new coach.
They were talking about him as a bit more of a consultant, weren't they, for Andrew Henderson. The two of them worked together on Premier Sports on the commentary a few years ago, so, you know, they know each other at the moment, but yeah, they need something.
Could and fall out.
Obviously, with two more players being culled from their squad recently, you know, it's not looking great for London Broncos. It does make me wonder where their next win is coming from, because they've got Lee this coming weekend in the Cup.
Wow, league continuing to be unbeaten in the Championship, copying what St Andrews are doing. This time they saw off the challenge of Featherstone Rovers, and we caught up with Paul Rowley after that big win against the Fev.
Paul, congratulations on another fine result. What did you say at half time though? Because it was really, really close and you didn't seem to be getting the breaks.
Oh, we didn't, because we had no control of the ruck. We was off too quick defensively. We spoke about fixing that up and how we could do that. And also we were getting no ruck, you know, momentum with our ruck speed, so we spoke about being patient. Spoke in particular about our last players, our kicks were very, very poor, and basically we were killing ourselves, and we understood that. But you know what we did take some confidence from is the fact that I felt we came in with a better body language than them, and you know, for a team that had dominated field position and territory, you know, I don't think the body language mirrored that sort of dominance. So whereas I thought our boys were quite happy and quite energetic in the way that we approached that second half, and you know, we knew we'd get our moment in the sun, and that second half proved it. We had a lot more patience. You know, and we played on the quick rucks when the time was right. I think we completed 17 or 18 out of 18 or 19, so we dropped one set, which is phenomenal. That's aggressive rugby, that. And history tells us that every time we win a big game in places like this, you need them sort of stats, and we came up with them. And the other thing you need is a full team effort, and I thought we got it today. I thought everybody played a huge part, and you know, the subs that came on, whether they came on to do a defensive job, and then it was like a new set of players come on to do an attacking job, you know, when Barlow and Fui were coming on, and Penke, just to compound the misery of Featherstone. I thought everybody played an important role today. It was good.
That defence though was awesome, wasn't it, second half? I mean, they tried to get forward and just couldn't. It was just like putting a big sponge over.
Yeah, it's a long view when you're in that corner. Now, especially they've lengthened that pitch, you know, they've lengthened it, but they've carried the hill on, so it's just an even longer hill now. So, you know, it's a tidy ground, looks real good. Both sets of fans were brilliant again. You know, every pass is forward here at Featherstone, so we need a bit of game sense as well. But yeah, it's a long way up that hill, and I thought, like I said, we had a moment in the sun.
Every forward pass is at Wigan as well, isn't it?
It is like that at a lot of rugby league grounds, isn't it? But it just shows, you know, home advantage counts for a lot in the Championship. So to see Lee do what they did in the second half, rolling down the hill at Featherstone, was just, it was awesome to watch. They've got a couple of players at the moment who are really in top class form, who look like they could really do a job in the
Super
League.
Wow, if it's good rolling down the hill at Featherstone, what are they going to look like rolling down the hill at Batley?
Tell you what,
be tremendous.
Be interesting to find out in a few weeks' time, won't it? Bradford struggled.
I'm sure Lee won't.